You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, we are looking at chapter 2 of Steps to Christ, and Pastor Munga will be guiding us through this chapter. And the chapter is entitled The Sinner's Need of Christ. All right, it addresses the profound reality of humanity's need for a Savior, and it reveals how sin has separated us from God and left us powerless to restore ourselves. And yet it also emphasizes God's infinite love and desire to redeem us through Jesus Christ. So this chapter invites us to reflect on our brokenness and the divine solution provided through grace and salvation. Aren't you grateful for grace and salvation? Pastor Munga, good morning. Welcome to the Mid-Morning Impact.
Thank you. It's a pleasure, Sister Wonge, and to our listeners. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Pastor. We appreciate you making time to speak with us today. There is some music in the background that we can hear that is it's a little loud. It might be a bit distracting. I'm not sure if you can. There we go. That sounds, that seems to be better.
Okay. I think let me just... how is it here?
That seems to be better. That seems to be much better. Thank you so much, Pastor. So we're looking at chapter 2 of Steps to Christ, which, listeners, if you'd like to read along with us, you can just Google it. You'll find it online. And also, if you'd like to have a physical copy and you can't find one, just let us know and we'll work on trying to get you a physical copy. The number is +27734703520. Now, Pastor, please take us through just a brief summary of what this chapter is all about.
Thank you very much, Sister Wongi, and also thank you, our listeners. Like you rightly said in your background information and your introduction, the sinner was separated from God through sin. When you talk about sinner, we talk about the whole human race.
Yeah.
Through sin, we find Adam and Eve separated from God because God cannot be associated with sin. So when Adam and Eve chose to sin, that means they chose to live away from God. And this is what is the situation that we find in. Like someone who has fallen into a pit.
Mm.
And the question that we answer or we need to answer is that, is it possible? Someone has fallen in a pit 100 meters down there. Is it possible that you can rescue yourself? Mm. And it's also important for us in this review. One of the questions that I would ask from what I have read in this chapter is that, what if God allowed everyone in heaven, the wicked and the righteous?
Mm.
What if they were all allowed?
Disaster.
And there would be a disaster for sure. Because here when we are talking about the righteous and the wicked, we are talking about the choices that people have made.
Yeah.
Those who have accepted Christ as the person Savior willingly, and about those who have rejected him. What if they are all ushered in heaven? And the scenario for sure, as we already said, it can be a disaster. Because heaven would be a great torture to the wicked.
Mm.
Because there can be commotion there, because you could imagine loud voices praising God with their hearts with joy.
Yeah.
At the same time, you are hearing voices that are crying, that are saying, we don't want to be in the presence of this person. His brightness is a torture to them. So, in other words, there can be a serious discord.
Mm.
So, what are we trying to say? The sinner is admitted in heaven by the grace of God. The wicked is excluded from heaven by the grace of God.
Amen.
It is helping the wicked actually to keep them out of heaven. We are helping them. It's a favor that God does to them.
Mm.
Because even if they were to get crushed there, they will not enjoy the company of angels. The scenario will be boring. So the best is for them to be outside and then the saved to be inside. And the question that God asks, like we already said, is that, is it possible to escape from the pit of sin? In all races, Christians and non-Christians, they have always been looking, they have been looking for a way to be saved from something.
Mm-hmm.
That there are these two forces of good and evil. The issue of God's fighting, it is always there, even among people who are non-Christians, they are always there. That there is a way that a person is supposed to be saved.
Yeah.
A parent, for sure, they want to say, maybe you put a child, the greatest sacrifice, you put a child in the fire, you do this, but isn't that, is it possible for a sinner to escape from the pit of sin? And the answer is no. And we can get this from these two verses. I love them. Job chapter 14, verse 4, and also Romans chapter 8, verse 7. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? And the Bible answers, not one. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? The answer is no one. No one can do that. Then Paul writes to the Romans, says, the carnal mind is enemy against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So we can see that there is nothing good that can come out of an unclean person. When we are talking about unclean, we are talking about ourselves. The Bible says we are all sinners.
Mm-hmm.
All of us are fallen short of the glory of God. Whether it's a pastor, whether it's a deacon, whether it's a broadcaster like Bobby, all of us are fallen short of the glory of God.
Yeah.
So we are all unclean. And this, the carnal mind is enemy against God. Someone who has not accepted faith. You are as sinners, we are actually enemies of God. If we can also state here very strong words. If a sinner had their way to kill either God or Satan, the sinner would start killing God first.
Eish.
If a sinner had their way, they would rather kill God than kill Satan. Because we are more inclined to Satan than to God.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder salvation had to take Jesus to come and die to save us from this pit of sin, to save us from this mud. And this is what we find in this chapter. That in everything that you can try to think about, maybe when you become educated, when you speak in good English, is it possible to save you? That says no.
Mm.
What about someone who claims to be very civilized, normally civilized, so I can save myself? The answer is no. Even if you say, okay, let me exercise my will, let me try to control myself, guide all the thoughts, I don't have to think about something bad, I don't have to do this and that, all kinds of work out. I listened to one TV program, and this person was advising the young ones.
Mm-hmm.
To say, you can try to avoid doing bad things, that maybe you are sick and alone, you are unable to thought it comes. Just think of an activity to do. Maybe you go for a bath.
Mm.
Again, when another bad thought comes, you just think of another activity, maybe you go and play football. So I would say, imagine how many activities can you engage yourself to avoid this heat?
The whole day.
And the whole day, each thought that comes, okay, let me now do a booking. Let me do this, you will be tired. And then you have 70 or 100 years to live. Can you afford that? Says you can't afford.
Eish.
So it is a part of deception that it is possible for a human being to develop the good that exists in a human being by nature.
Mm-hmm.
That there's something good in you. And that by nature, somehow, you can develop until this comes out. But the truth is that it is not possible. It is only Christ and the only Him who can save a sinner from sin.
Amen.
No wonder why in John 3:3 it says, except one is born from above, we cannot see the kingdom of God. Except we are born from above, we cannot see the kingdom of God. And I must also be quick to mention also stuff like that. No wonder us human beings are different from all creation. When you look at all these animals, talk about the birds, talk about these animals, all these animals, they are covering. If you talk about an animal and a cow, it is born with a covering. It is born with a skin.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about a bird, the chickens, it is born. The feathers are coming from inside, then it covers.
Yeah.
But when it comes to a human being, your cover always comes from outside.
Mm.
Your cover comes from outside.
Yeah.
Just like Adam and Eve, when they sin, they try to cover themselves this and that, but God had to take something else, the animals' lives, and then get the skins put on them. So our hell is from outside ourselves.
Mm.
There is no human being no matter how powerful, no matter how wise, who can save another? So our salvation is just from above. When you receive this salvation from above, through the Holy Spirit, we find that we receive a new heart, new desires, new purposes, new motives, leading to a new life. And then we start surprising our neighbors. They are shocked. What has happened to this person? This person used to fight with his children, fight with wife and alcoholic. Then someone saw us up. They have not gone to any counseling center, any rehabilitation center, but the word of God reached them. They have been born from above. It is not a modification, but it is a transformation. And this is the whole burden of the plan of redemption. It's transformation.
Sure, sure.
Not modification.
Mm.
So it should start from inside, and then it comes outside. And the burden of the whole chapter is that a sinner can only be saved by Christ.
Amen.
And that need for a sinner is always there. And that Christ who saves us is always there by our side.
Amen. Amen. That is so encouraging to know that. And even what you're talking about, that transformation instead of a modification, I think it's so encouraging to know that that's even possible. Because I think, like you said, so many people have tried. We try and we keep falling back into old habits. We try, we make we follow that advice that, you know, when that wicked thought comes in, you must distract yourself by doing something else, do something positive. You know, we try all those things. And if there's any change, it's not lasting. If it does work, it's just for a few days at most, and then we're back to old habits. It's not sustainable. But what you're describing is a change that happens from the inside, which then becomes my new nature. I don't have to make the decision to be patient. I just am, because I have the Holy Spirit living in me. Because of what Jesus did for me, I become what he wants me to be. I don't have to perform in some kind of way in order to look like a Christian, but I am a true Christian. My responses are naturally going to be of someone who has the Holy Spirit indwelling. So I think that's very encouraging to know. And I really love what you said earlier about how the righteous who are accepted into heaven is by the grace of God. And even the sinner who's rejected from heaven, that is a grace of God. I've thought about it a few times over the past maybe year or so, that it's actually God's grace that some people will be condemned. It's for their own benefit that they'll be condemned. They'll be miserable in heaven. People look at it as cruelty, that, so why would a loving God reject his own people just because they made a different decision? Yes, because to accept them into heaven would be torture for them.
No, exactly. You are right. When you are saying what came to my mind also is at the end of the year or at the beginning of the year, we make resolutions.
Yes.
I want
yes.
to reduce weight. I want to start jogging.
Yes.
But in less than a week, all those resolutions evaporate. They are just somewhere there. They are out of
there. Try again next year.
Yes, well, many years are going.
Yeah.
I look at this one in Romans 7, verse 24, where it says, Paul says, who shall rescue the sinner
Eish.
From the pit of sin?
Eish.
And in NIV, Paul says here, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? A sinner is a dead person. Who will deliver me from this body of death? And then we hear the good news in John chapter 1, verse 9, behold, the Lamb of God. The word there, behold, means it's so whatever you're doing. So look at something important. There are a lot of things that you can see around, but look, pay particular attention to this one. Behold, the Lamb of God who saves
Amen.
Everyone from sins. From sin.
Amen. Amen. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Now, despite our fallen state, God's love remains steadfast, and we know that he longs to restore the connection that sin has broken. And this unwavering love forms the foundation of the gospel, and it invites us to trust in his willingness to save us. Can you speak to us a little bit about God's desire to restore us?
God's desire to restore us actually starts from Genesis chapter 3 to Revelation chapter 22. That is the last chapter. There's only one story, the plan of restoration, the plan of redemption. Look at Jacob when he's sleeping there. He's separated from his father. He has deceived his father. He has deceived God. He has deceived himself, conniving with the mother, and then he's there alone sleeping. But just that moment, he sees a ladder, and the angels are moving on that ladder. That ladder was pointing to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Connecting a sinner down to God who is in heaven. Like the wilderness arrangement where someone was bitten by a snake, when they looked at that bronze snake, it was all that was also pointing to Christ. So God's desire is to restore. I mean, to restore. The restore has like two ways there. There's read and store. When you take something out of the storeroom, you take something from the store. When you take it back, you are restoring it. You are taking it back where it was. So the plan of restoration is to take us back where we were. That dislocation, that separation, Jesus came to stand in the gap. On one hand, he's holding his Lugube. On the other hand, he's holding his Father. And then we are reconciled by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As our advocate, as our Lord.
Is that restoration possible while we're down here, or is it something we're looking forward to in heaven?
We are restored now spiritually. When we accept, because the offer to accept Christ is now. When you are when you die, it is over. So we have to accept Christ now when we are still living. There are no saints who are, they say, no, when this person dies after 200 years, so now this one has become a saint. No, you become a saint now when you are living. That's why Paul writes to the saints at Ephesus, they were living, they were there. So this restoration has to be done now. No wonder we see people like Enoch, who was translated to heaven, Elijah was translated to heaven. They were right here on earth and they were taken to heaven, which is a figure of what will happen to us also when we remain in Christ.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, as we're wrapping up, Pastor, how does our understanding of the nature of sin and of the separation that sin has caused between us and God, how does our understanding of that shape our recognition of our need for Christ?
That should shape us, because here we are looking at a sinner's penalty is death, an eternal death.
Okay.
But God's offer is eternal life.
Amen.
So the sinner is standing in the middle. On your right, there's eternal life. On the left, there's eternal death. And you choose willingly.
Yeah.
God offers to save all human beings. If all human beings can accept him, he can save all of them. And that should shape our understanding that there's a God who is offering eternal life just by my side. You don't need a degree. You don't need a master's degree. You don't need a PhD.
Yeah.
You don't need to know good English to be saved. No.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much, Pastor. We really appreciate it. Thanks for coming through and sharing this one. We'll be continuing on Thursday, delving into some more lessons that we get out of this chapter of Steps to Christ. God bless you so much. Thank you for your time this morning.
You're most welcome. God bless you too, and God bless our listeners.
Amen. Amen.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.